The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
Is this? Yeah, it works. Matt, it's another high octane introduction to the podcast we've got to do now. Do a whoop or some whoop.
Whoop, brat.
Kind of the XFM, it's a bit, we're not really whoopy sort of things, are we? So no. What we need really is some seasoned whooper.
Yeah.
I think somebody, I don't know, who would, you know, prostitute himself on a mainstream network to maybe bring some high octane introduction to this podcast. Hello, Dave Berry.
I will buy you and I will fire you. It's nice to be here to bring some star quality to this shoddy podcast. What kind of week of broadcast have you had, John? Tell me.
What kind of week have we had? Well, it's outclassed your shower of rubbish.
No, you're totally right, but that's a shower of rubbish including Rihanna and Taylor Swift, so f*** you.
How is Capital? How's Capital?
It's just Capital, Matt. Capital. It's not 1998.
No.
Went there to change things, and I've succeeded. I feel you seem stuck in the past over here. I bought you that cardigan for your 15th birthday.
While I'm enjoying this banter, I feel a bit like Lisa now.
I will not touch your.
I know. Not again. You won't. After last time, and I've told you, second knuckle only. Is this all going in the podcast, Dave? Is
it? God, and it's two knuckle rule. It's so disappointing, isn't it? Oh, is Dave called Dave now?
Yeah.
Chris, they gave you your real name. There's the whoop whoop. Someone got their first name back.
So yeah, Dave Berry, listen and learn. Let me tell you what's in this podcast. Yeah, you might have Taylor Swift and Rihanna over there, but we've got Mark Wahlberg swearing, we've got John Kennedy swearing, and we've got proof that James Corden is a thieving tow rag. So yeah, in your face with your breakfast nonsense. Plus, I didn't go to the compliance training meeting this week, so I basically libel every celebrity on the planet. It's all in the podcast.
God, I love XFM.
Chaff, this is Chaff News. This is where we bring you the news that A, we don't really understand, B, no one cares about, and C, there isn't really a C, is there? We just don't care about it. But we get it out of the way in the Breakfast Club hour, just so it doesn't bother anyone for the rest of the day. And then when we finished it, we just go and give it back to Heart and Capital, who's very raison d'etre.
Yeah.
Seems to encompass the Chaff News.
To appease the idiots.
That's right. Who don't listen. Who really don't know their alphabet well enough to get to X, so they don't really listen to this.
No, they don't.
If I'm honest.
They just don't know what we are. Capital, innit? I don't know, it's Capital.
I love it.
I just pick a box, says Capital.
That's what I do, isn't it? What have you got, Matthew?
Another day, another ridiculous poll.
Yeah.
Today, Hat Person of the Year.
Hat Person of the Year. Good, good, strong.
The winner,
yeah,
Kate Moss with 40% of the vote.
Is she even a... If someone said, what do you know about Kate Moss? I don't know, is she nudie? Isn't she?
Many, many things.
Nudie, yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't have gone
hat wearing, not the main one, is it?
Not really.
Well, she beat off strong competition, it says, from the singer Bruno Mars, who was a close second, right, by 38%. Anne Hathaway was third. I've never seen her wear a hat. Have you?
Well, didn't she die in the 1500s? She was married to William Shakespeare, wasn't she?
Yeah, exactly.
I've been to her cottage, to be honest.
And I've been to her cottage.
Yeah, and to be honest.
Stratford, yeah.
Stratford on even, yeah. And to be honest, there are pictures of her there, but it's more of a bonnet, if I'm honest. Not really a hat she's wearing.
Yeah.
You know, she was more of a sort of 16th century bonnet, really. So,
yeah.
So that's an interesting one.
Maybe that was some kind of online campaign to rig the vote.
Yeah, what, by Shakespeare
let's
fans?
Get Anne Hathaway on. by the organisers of the cottage.
I'd have called her Cottage Person of the Year.
Yeah.
Either that or George Michael. One of the two of them, anyway. But I don't really know where, you know. Wow. Dave just got that.
Johnny Depp's in there.
You're right, Dave.
Brad Pitt. Duchess Catherine, as no one calls her. Kate Middleton.
Why do they write that all
the
time?
I don't know why the Chaff people always call her that.
Duchess Catherine. She's not called that. Kate Middleton.
I mean, I don't know who we'd put in this hat person.
I put the guitar. Well, they've missed a trick here, because the guitarist out of the rock band Magnum is actually called Tony the Hat Clarkin.
So definitely.
Why isn't he Hat Person of the Year? The clue is in his name.
Yeah. I suppose Paul Smith and Maximo Parker's bowler hat is... Does he still wear that? I don't even know if he still wears
it. The Cat in the Hat from Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, yeah.
Hattie Jakes would be a more of a... more of a realistic proposition than Kate Moss or Shakespeare's wife that's been dead for 400 years. This is ludicrous.
Another survey has revealed the least sexy actress. What a horrible thing to vote on. I presume this is like the Mail Online constantly slagging off women.
Daily Mail.
Oh, they're too fat, they're too thin.
Yeah, you can't win, can they?
Too actressy.
You chaff people, you chaff consumers.
Yeah, you love
What's
it.
A problem?
You love it, you like it when they're sexy, you like it when they're not. You don't care. As long as their names are printed.
Yeah.
As long as you brighten your day by looking at it and going, oh, I've seen the name of...
Horrible.
Lindsay Lohan. Oh, my day is complete.
I'm not even going to go through who's on the list because it's offensive.
Go on, go on.
Denise Richards is on there, though.
I don't know who that is.
Kirsten Stewart. Kristen Stewart is number one. Sarah Jessica Parker, 2. Lindsay Lohan, 3.
Yeah.
Unnecessary. I've got some other tour news.
Is Dustin Hoffman in Tootsie in there? It should be.
For doing it on historical figures, should definitely be in there. Elsewhere, the other big news from the world of chaff this morning, Ollie Murs is going to support Robbie Williams on his UK stadium tour this summer. You and Dave seem like massive fans of Williams. Maybe you'll be going.
We like Williams, don't we, Dave? We like Williams. Yeah. We like a bit of Williams.
Big fan of the...
Yeah, I like the one about the monkey, I think I pointed that out.
Jesus in a camper van was my favourite.
Was it? Yeah. You like Come Undone as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do. That's my favourite. That's
your other favourite, is it?
Yeah.
The one about the monkey. The last one I like.
Well, this is, you know, this is chaff news, guys.
Okay. What's an Ollie Murs?
He's a hat wearer too, I think.
Is he?
I think he is. Wow. Everyone's a hat wearer these days. Yeah. And the Girls Aloud UK tour support act has been announced. I thought they'd retired to set up a decorating business.
Well, that's what previous chaff news would have us believe, wouldn't it?
Apparently they're heading out on tour.
What?
Presumably it's a farewell tour. And the support act, it's a biggie. It is Amelia Lilly.
I can't wait.
Who was a finalist on The X Factor, and I've never heard of her.
No. So that's all the chaff news that's neither fit to print nor to say out loud, but there we are. We've got it out of the way. It's done now. We're done.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
Good morning then, XFM Breakfast, Liam Frey out of Off of Cortina, still with us of course. Now, we're going to play Pop Stars Win Prizes.
Looking forward to this.
I can tell that you are.
Yeah.
Let me, not wishing to scare you, but Biffy Clyro got full points on this, and Frank Turner did as well, full marks last week.
Okay.
So there's a lot to play for. I say a lot, nothing to play for, really, quite literally.
Literally not.
So, the three questions, A, B and C answers mostly. That's all you've got to do is give me those answers. Here we go. Question number one, and it's very exciting sci-fi film news recently, and recently saw the very exciting sci-fi film news that acclaimed director J.J. Abrams is to direct the new episode of the epic adventure franchise, Five Star Wars. It tells the ongoing saga of Stedman, Lorraine, Denise, Doris and Delroy, a.k.a. the Pearson family, battling the dark forces of the evil empire. It continues the story of when Doris, from the 80s band Five Star, was captured and taken aboard the Death Star, where she tried in vain to stop Darth Vader from blowing up Five Star's hometown of Romford with a planet-sized space station. But Five Star Wars isn't the only sci-fi-based banned film that there is. Name the other one, Liam. Is it A, Battlestar Galacticardigans, B, Lily Alien, or C, Courtney Love's Black Hole?
Wow. That last one's a bit blue, isn't it?
It's a bit black.
Battlestar Galacticardigans
is the right answer. Very well played.
Excellent.
Question number two.
Good wordplay.
Thanks. History and anniversary of the first manuscript of the most famous reference book of all time news now. And this week sees the anniversary of the first manuscript of the Living in a Boxford English Dictionary. Over the years, this work has proved to be the go-to work for anyone wanting to know the origins and meanings of the band Living in a Box. All the information is in there, from the origins of their name, Living in a Box, to the origins of their only hit, Living in a Box. But the Living in a Boxford English Dictionary isn't the only band-based non-fiction reference text. Name the other one. Is it A, the Encyclopaedia Britannica? Is it B, the Eugene McGuinness Book of Records? Or is it C, the Haynes Motorhead Manual, which shows you in detail how to strip down and rebuild Lemmy?
I like the Eugene McGuinness Book of Records, if I'm honest.
That's the right answer.
Great.
Question number three.
Doing very well. Just this one to get right.
2 out of 2.
Not bad. Music-based question now. Cat Stevens is one of the top threats to US wildlife. He kills billions of animals a year, a study has suggested. The authors of the study estimate Cat Stevens is responsible for the deaths of between 1.4 and 3.7 billion birds annually. Writing in Nature Communications magazine, scientists say stray and feral and pet Cat Stevens are all offenders. The authors concluded that more animals are dying at the claws of Cat Stevens than in road accidents, collisions or poisonings. Name for me, this is the question, name 5 famous pets. 5 famous pets, Liam.
There's no multiple choice.
Not on this one.
I have to give input.
I'm afraid you have to do a little bit of work for this one.
Okay.
Yeah. 5 famous pets.
Well, I bought my mum a dog for a birthday a couple of weeks ago, and yep. I mentioned it on television the other day, so he's famous.
Okay, good.
He's called Elvis.
All right.
I know that Russell Brand has a cat called Morrissey.
Good. That's, yeah.
I know that Harry Redknapp's got a bulldog called Rosie.
Yeah, yes, he has. That's with his own bank account.
Apparently so, yeah. Who else do we know that's got a pet?
I'm gonna have to say what I've got written on the card.
I'm pleased that I don't know.
No, that's good. All right,
I think you should be. I think 3's all right.
3's all right. I'll tell you what I had written on the card. You could have had name 5 famous pets. Petula Clark, you could have had that, of course. Pets win prizes. Mm. The swimming rule: no heavy petting.
That's not a famous pet.
It is. Pet Cemetery by Stephen King.
Ah, okay.
And Pet Sounds you could have had. Of course. But that wasn't bad. That wasn't bad effort. Let's go to Dave. Dave's the adjudicator in many ways. He's the producer. What's the score then?
3. 3.
Congratulations, Liam.
Thank you.
Congratulations for winning Pets Win Prizes.
I'm very pleased.
Your name will go on the leaderboard up there with Biffy Clyro, Frank Turner and Suede. Well done.
I'm in good company.
Liam Frey. On XFM Breakfast.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So it was the Brits last night. I don't know whether you noticed that, Matt. It was the Brits. The Brit Awards. I don't know whether you noticed that.
Just a bit of it on telly.
Did you see that? Yeah.
I had to stop once One Direction started covering Teenage Kicks because I had to go and vomit.
Yeah. I think most people were advised that was going to happen, so most people had buckets with them.
Yeah.
I think. Most people in the room, I think, last night, next to the table, they had supplied vomit buckets for that reason, with a little warning on the tables just saying One Direction are going to be performing.
You were
a classic
supposed to
punk.
Be there, weren't you?
Well, I was supposed to be there, Matt, yes. Ooh. As I mentioned on air yesterday, I said I had a ticket to the Brits, didn't I? I've got a ticket to the Brits. I'm off the radio, and as a result, I got a ticket to the Brits. That's what I said, isn't it?
That's what you said. You're giving it the big un.
Ask me what happened there, then.
Why did you go? What happened?
I didn't go, Matt. No, I didn't go to the Brits last night. And do you know, because what happened was, when we came off air yesterday, I went upstairs, and our boss, Chris, I'm named and shamed him now, Chris Bourne, right?
Well, you gave his number out on the show.
Yes, I did. Well, I'm going to give his home address out today, because things have got worse, Dave.
Oh, dear.
If I'm brutally honest. So he took me aside, he said, bear in mind, I don't live in London. I come up to London, like, with my suit in a bag. I mean, I got on my kit. Like, I carried all this stuff, you know, shoes and stuff. You know, I thought I'd make a bit of an effort. Took me aside. He went, it's a bit embarrassing, actually. Do you want a coffee?
Okay.
It's the coffee trick, is it? Yeah. It's a bit embarrassing, John. So, you know, I told you that that it'd all been arranged for you to go to the Brits and sit on the presenter's table, with all the important people.
The luminaries from Global Radio.
All the bosses from Global Radio. And the luminary, the presenter, you know that? You know, because Dave Berry from Capital, he's going, isn't he? Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
He was the voice of God last night.
Was he?
Yeah.
Voice of Satan, more like. Theakston. Theakston was there.
Cheeks of a tea.
Theco, he was there, wasn't he?
MC Theco.
Yeah, he was there. So, you know, and so he said, well, what's happened? There's been a little bit of a mistake, because I did email the people doing the tickets and the passage. I did email them with your name. And the upshot of this, John, is that you're not going. You haven't got a ticket or a pass or anything. And I was like, what? And he said, no. But Chris, you promised so much. He went, yeah, well. And I said, look, I'm 6 weeks into this job already. He said, is this the case? They don't even know I'm here, do they? And he had to admit, he sort of said, I don't know, something's happened, there's been an oversight. And I looked on Twitter last night, even the travel presenter from Hart got to go. Joanne Webb.
actually went to the Brits. She's the travel agent from Ireland. Yeah, she got to go. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Me, the presenter of the Brits Show. No. Did anyone from XFM get to go, actually? Oh, yeah. Chris, the boss. Yeah, he got to go, did he?
He got to go.
He got to go. And he actually said these words to me. He said, well, I'll tell you what, John. There is no ticket. There isn't a ticket for you. They haven't added you to the list. Look, Dave Berry's on the list, isn't he? There. Oh, and Jamie Theakston. And the travel presenter from Heart, she's on there.
The other John Holmes, the adult actor.
Yeah, even though he's been dead now for about 15 years, and he's dead of AIDS, even then, he's still on the list, John, but you're not. So, and then he said, this is the best bit. Then he went, so you've not seen, because there was a meal for the people, you're sitting at the table with a meal, John. No, you're not doing that, you're not going. So what I'm going to do, he said, it's all right, because I'm going to, this was like 10 a.m. yesterday. Then he said, I'll get you. So what I'll do, I'll try and get you into the VIP area with me. It's not the table, but I'll get you into the lounge at the top. You know, I said, okay, fine. Right. So I'll call you at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I'll sort that out. So, you know, I went back to my hotel room and just spent the day crying. And sure enough, he was back. To be fair to him, he was bang on with the time. But he didn't ring. He texted me and just went, sorry, mate, can't sort it. That was it. I was sitting there in my suit, man. Oh, no. 3 o'clock, polished my suit, sitting there, crying on the edge of my bed.
So he got your hopes up twice.
He got my hopes up twice.
Oh, what a roller coaster ride it was for you yesterday, John.
So, officially, our boss is a git.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
What are the breakfast shows? A lot of the breakfast programmes, if you've ever heard them, I don't know why you would, but you might have done. A lot of them have a thought for the day, don't they? They have a moment towards the end of the week where someone concerned with spiritual matters comes in and perhaps advises on life, sort of comes in and just sort of muses, I suppose, on religion and on spiritual matters and how, you know, an anecdote from their life could perhaps, you know, give us all something warm in our hearts, something to go through the day with, to lift us, I suppose. That's what a thought for the day, a pause for thought, if you like, would do. And a lot of other breakfast programmes have one, you know, from maybe a vicar or something. You've probably heard these things. But we at XFM are equal opportunity employers. And by way of redressing the balance, because there are a lot of people out there who don't necessarily want to hear from a vicar, but people have very different beliefs, a lot of different beliefs, and all are fine, all are acceptable. But some areas of the market aren't catered for. And that's where we come in here on the XFM breakfast programme, because on a weekly basis, we invite the High Priest of the Temple of Mephistopheles in Hendon, Vexen Le Crowley, to come in and share with us some of his thoughts, particularly his thought for the day for Satanists.
Good morning. On the advice of a parishioner I looked in on Twitter the other day, I can't confess to have taken to it like a duck to water, but the thought was that it would help me to keep in touch with people all over the world, and I'll be honest, the more I used it, the more I realised it allowed me to look in on the minutiae of people's lives and cast judgment upon them and their actions. And then I thought, Satan's a lot like that, isn't he? He watches over all of us like some kind of omnipotent and malign presence, with his lidless black eyes judging us until such time as he can take those who have sinned and drag them down into the pit, stand at his side and feel the burning hot agony of his touch. Plus, I do like the way the photographs of our sacrifices and the naked bodies of my parishioners by firelight look on Instagram. Anyway, someone I was following, I forget who, tweeted the famous saying by Edmund Burke, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing." Well, it certainly provided food for thought. That simply by doing nothing, good men can help his dark majesty, the bringer of filth and lord of all lies, visit his foul works on humankind and proliferate his evil through a screaming eternity. But yet conversely, this weekend in our satanic church, we're holding a bring and buy sale in order to raise funds to spread the words of the serpent ruler of all demons. Yet, according to Edmund Burke, we shouldn't bother. And that made me realise that there are some real idiots on Twitter. And that should give us all something to think about.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So yeah, it was the Brits last night, which I didn't go to. I'm going to call it an administrative error.
if that's fair. So yeah. Our boss went, didn't he? And he sort of said, from Brickship Centre, John, of course you're going to go to the Brits. Mm. And then it turned out that he took me one side and he went, yeah, you're not going to the Brits. I haven't really sorted you out a ticket. And he had to actually say that to me. And he didn't even look that sheepish when he was saying it, I don't think. To be fair, I've just, it seems to me all breakfast show presenters in the country with it. Even 64-year-old John Warnett from BBC Radio Kent, I'm sure I saw him at one point on the red... John Humphreys from the Today Show, I think he was there.
Yeah.
It's just not...
They're all there.
Not happy with it.
Steph from The Office was there.
Oh, Steph was there, was she? Yeah. So Steph from The Office got to go to the Brits, where I, the presenter of the flagship, they say, the breakfast programme, didn't get to go. We haven't sorted it out.
She's posted a lot of pictures from the event.
I don't want to look at the pictures online.
You might want to see this
Matt,
one.
Don't show him this one.
What? I don't want to see...
Don't show him that one.
Maybe you shouldn't see this one.
No, you're going to have to show me now, aren't you?
They're posing with a couple of people that... this might make it worse. I'll just turn the screen around it.
Oh, for heaven's sake! Oh, right, OK, so that's our bot, the managing editor of XFM.
Yeah.
Right. The one who refused you the ticket.
The one who refused the ticket. The deputy managing you boss of XFM,
yeah,
Mike.
Got him, yeah.
Yeah. Steph from The Office. On the red carpet of the Brits. Hugging.
Hugging.
Six Music Breakfast presenter Sean Bloody Keaveney. And Matt Everett, also from Six Music. Even what the hell's going on?
Even his sidekick got in.
So Keaveney gets in, and that's our boss hugging him on the red carpet. He's from Six Music. What the hell's going on?
Oh, dear.
All right, really cross now. And your equivalent, Matt, is there, look.
Yeah, I know.
He's also called Matt. Perhaps that's where the confusion arose.
Perhaps I shouldn't have shown you that picture.
That's it, I'm leaving. Right, I'm out of here. Dave, you can find the news. I'm not putting up with this. I'm literally quitting. I'm not having it. Honestly, I mean, Dave just waved my contract at me.
It
doesn't say Brits in the contract, so I've got not leg to stand on, if I'm honest.
XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
And if you've woken up this morning feeling a bit under the weather, then this is our feature for you, really. You're not the only one who's woken up under the weather. The constant touring and grueling schedule of many rock stars. They all wake up feeling like death all the time. But do they complain? Well, in the case of Morrissey, yes, I expect they do. But many of them don't. Many of the rock stars, they just soldier on, don't they? But what is the secret? Well, every rock star has their own rock star remedy, homemade solutions to aches, pains and problems. And here at XFM, we challenge them to come in with their remedies for things and bring them to a wider audience. And each week we invite a real-life rock star to tell us one of their remedies. Not someone from Placebo. We know their tricks. That would be pointless. So whether you're suffering from a small face or you've got a nickel back, XFM will have a cure. Ideally, we'd have the cure, but Robert Smith, too busy to track down, if I'm honest. Anyway, this week's Rockstar Remedy comes to you from none other than Darwin Dees, and here he is on XFM with a cure for warts.
Hello, my name is Darwin Dees, and this is my homemade remedy for warts. A wart is a small, rough growth, typically on a human's hands or feet, that can resemble cauliflower or a solid blister. Or wart is the baddie from Super Mario Bros. 2 on Nintendo Entertainment System. The version on the NES can be eradicated by throwing vegetables into wart's mouth. So dealing with the version on the skin, this can be a little bit trickier. Although a diet high in vegetables is a good start. It's a good preventative measure for many ailments. The skin sort of wart is caused by a viral infection. I don't know if you knew that. And specifically is one of the many types of the human papillomavirus, which is the virus after which Paloma Faith was named, actually. My homemade remedy to cure warts is to use duct tape. This is not only removes warts, but also makes you look like you've been quickly repaired on the side of a road. Warts typically disappear after a few months on their own, but they can last for years. An ex-girlfriend of mine had warts all over her hands, and they can recur, and they can impact your self-esteem, in which case your best course of action is to see your GP or apply to play a baddie on an ITV kids show. I'm Darwin Dees, and that was my remedy for warts on the XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
Thanks, Darwin Dees.
XFM. The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
Plus, from 10 tonight, John Kennedy has a big giveaway.
It is exposure on XFM. Right now, I thought I'd offer you some casual sex here in the XFM Session Studio. What? All you have to do is just text Filthy Boy to 83936 now, and you'll get yourself casual sex. And hello to Pete from Hove, who just happened to text in at the right time. No more texts, please. I think it's going to be a very, very special night.
Well, I think so. Wow, tune in from 10 tonight. That sounds amazing. John Kennedy tonight with casual sex in session.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
In times of the Romans, there was a tradition, a feast, a celebration. When slaves became masters and masters became slaves, they called it the Lords of Misrule. So you probably know how this works by now if you're a regular listener or a regular listener that pretends they don't listen regularly and that they hate it but still listening anyway because they relentlessly text us. Thanks, those two people. Nice to have you on board. If you work in an office, which, you know, you might do, where it doesn't have to be an office, wherever you work, you know where you go into those meetings, don't you? Those dull meetings where your boss is standing down the front basking in the glow of his or her stupid PowerPoint presentation, you know, the kind of thing. And there you are having to sit through his or her guff. Bits where they stand there, and you're almost asleep, but the bits they stand down the front, don't they? They're going, yeah, let's take this positivity dart, people, and aim straight for the bullseye. You know, that kind of thing. We all have those meetings. You know, some idiot sits there just going, okay, guys, let's start sweating the brand across a multi-platform productivity arena, yeah? You know that? Yeah, I think we're all inspired here, so let's all go back to the high-speed sales circuit and start driving those desks hard, people. That, which you sit at the back thinking, oh, do be quiet, you promoted beyond your abilities management tool. We've all been there. It's probably going to happen to you today. You're going to get into work and this exact thing is going to happen to you today. But this is where we strike back. This is where we throw corporate guff speak right back at them. We want you to suggest the most excruciating examples of corporate guff speak. And here's what we do with them. Very simply, producer Dave here is tasked with getting one of those phrases into one of his myriad of dull, pointless meetings. And recording it on his iPhone. Last week on the XFM Breakfast Show, we went with a suggestion of Main Stander on Twitter. Dave was in a meeting about the canteen here at XFM, and this is what he got in.
I mean, we're all on this bus together, aren't we? And sometimes we have to share the driving, so let's strap in and enjoy the ride.
Awful. Dave's now got a bit of a reputation around the building for being a git, so do please keep adding to his reputation by suggesting examples of corporate guff speak for him to get into meetings. Well, it's time for today's, Dave.
Yeah.
What meeting did you go to yesterday?
It's a weird one yesterday, John.
Yeah.
It was to do with the office hygiene and people, because there's a lot of bugs going around at the moment.
There's a lot of stinky
know,
people,
you know,
in our
Matt's
office.
Matt's a bit under the weather, for instance.
Nice smells.
So we're trying to nip that in the bud, John, and I think the way to do that is just improving hygiene around the office.
Right, that was a meeting that actually...
I didn't come up with the idea.
My issue isn't a hygiene issue. I've just got a cold. Yeah, that's not hygiene.
Yeah, but no, but aside from that, your personal hygiene is pretty... Yeah. I'm not saying the things are related. I'm just saying these are two prongs to your fork, as it were.
Okay, thanks. Glad we cleared that up.
Okay. Well, annoyingly, it hasn't cleared up. That's mainly the problem.
So, Dave, who was at the meeting? Just pretty, what sort of people? Just out, I mean, just who was there? Head of, is there a head of hygiene or something?
There's not a head of hygiene, no. There's a few people from within XFM and then a couple more that are just part of
the wider
our
company.
Umbrella company, Global Radio.
Right, good. Must have
yeah.
So whose phrase did you get in this week?
Jenny and Staines
Jenny
sent this in last week.
Jenny and Staines.
It's quite a wordy one, so I was a little bit nervous going into this one to right. deliver it as I wanted to give it the full impact.
Okay.
But I think I got away with it.
Shall we hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, here's Dave in a meeting about hygiene, getting some corporate guff speak in, as suggested by Jenny in Staines. Here we are.
Quite a few different bugs flying around, the sickness one, the flu bug, so yeah. We need to kind of get on top of it.
I do think personal hygiene standards are slipping in the office, so I've put hand sanitizer on everybody's desks. you know, it's just a case of washing your hands when you're in the toilet and sanitizer.
Yeah, I mean, common sense prevails, absolutely. I just wonder whether a couple more procedures need to be at least thought up just to, like we say, nip it in the bud, really. I mean, let's trawl through the problem mud here, plant some innovation seeds, guys, and see which idea flower grows tallest. That way, we can actually see which ideas are going to be the ones that we can move forward with to actually keep the place.
Oh, good work. Good work, Dave. I like the guys in there as well.
Yeah.
Let's trawl through the problem mud and plant some innovation seed, guys. Yeah. I like that.
Brings everyone together.
I love it. I love it.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So, Marky Mark actor Mark Wahlberg, then. He's in a film. It's called Broken City. It's out a week today. We went to find him in a hotel room to, you know, to just look at his face a bit, just see what he was like. And he had no, you know, he got no idea who we were. But, you know, he was sort of slumped on a sofa. And he was sort of, what? I didn't really know what's going on, I don't think. I don't think he was expecting. He just didn't know who I was. And then I sort of explained who I was. And like many Americans, like if you remember when we had Quentin Tarantino on the show, and he was quite excited by my name being John Holmes, because John Holmes, of course, famous porn star.
Yeah.
And Mark Wahlberg, well, it confused Mark Wahlberg, it's fair to say, as well, at the beginning. So anyway, this is when we went to see Mark Wahlberg. XFM Breakfast Show, I'm John Holmes. Welcome to XFM, Mark Wahlberg.
Your name is John Holmes.
I was going to bring this up quite early, but now you've done it for me. Yeah, worrying, isn't it? And I have to say, kind of the John Holmes thing in Britain only became famous kind of quite late on, partly down to, you know, Boogie Nights and Tarantino's use of him in Reservoir Dogs and stuff. And this became, of course, the bane of my life at school, so I want to thank you personally for helping helping me get abused at school in the playground. Let's talk about the film. Do you look at scripts differently with a producer, having a producer's eye, than you would if you were just an actor, say? Do you come at it with a...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what's your process for picking a script?
Well, with a movie like this, was like, well, God, I love these kind of movies, but they don't make these kind of movies for a reason. So how are we going to make this movie and still maintain creative control? We'd have to do it independently. We'd have to do it, obviously, on the cheap. But the great thing about it is we had a great script.
And
so, you know, the people who don't get to always sink their teeth into meaty roles would be attracted to it and come and probably work for a lot less money than they would normally get.
I mean, it's a pretty stellar cast as well, isn't it? For what you, as you said, it's a sort of lower budget that kind of movie get done. Do you sort of have to take a step back if you're acting as well, or do you sort of have maintain control over it as you go along?
Well, you know, you want to give everybody else the kind of room to do their thing as well, and encourage everybody to do their best work, and you do that by giving them positive reinforcement and, you know, kind of stepping aside and giving
them... You're a good boss, is what we're telling you. You're a good boss.
Yeah, we spread the love.
Yeah.
If we gotta just drop the hammer, we drop the hammer.
There's a scene where your character is watching your girlfriend in a sex scene, and it's all a bit awkward for you. And I've often wondered what it's like for an actor, or the actors of the half, like with your wife maybe, watching that happen on screen.
It's not good. It's not good. My wife definitely doesn't like it. I don't like doing it. I try to steer away from roles like that, especially now being both a husband and a father.
Yeah.
It's part of the job, but, you know, it's awkward.
Is it a kind of thing that actors will broach it at script stage, or is it something you sort of wait till you filmed and then maybe go and...
Well, in this particular movie, I had to have a long, lengthy negotiation with Alan Hughes, because there was a very kind of... descriptive,
director.
Yeah. There was a descriptive sex scene with me and my girlfriend in the movie, and it was pretty full on, and I was like, I kept telling him, nah, maybe we don't do this, maybe we'll do that, and I ended up negotiating it down to like a kiss, and then we walk away in the other room, and then I had to appear nude by myself later on in the bathtub.
Yeah.
So we made that compromise.
Okay. I like that.
It was a lengthy negotiation, yeah, because, you know, it's one of those things where do you say something to your wife, or do you wait? But it's never going to go good.
It's never going good, is it?
So you probably are better off waiting.
Yeah. Briefly, you know, your route into acting slightly unconventional, I think, probably compared to a lot of actors. And I mean this in the best possible way, but when did you realise you could act? Because a lot of people who come up from music and stuff, they can't. And, you know, you hit the ground running. And I just wonder when you realised that you could do it.
Well, I was doing it a lot before I was actually doing it in front of a camera. You know, I was always convincing the judge that it wasn't me. And I did it pretty well. But, no, I felt like, I don't know, I just was drawn to it and I felt comfortable doing it, but I was also very eager to learn and to grow a kind of in a slow and steady pace, one role at a time, finding interesting roles and really talented people to work with and to learn from. You know, it's like a lot of musicians that they have this huge success and then, okay, they're going to jump in and star in a movie and it's a disaster. You know, it's like...
Yeah. Hello. Names?
Well, God, it's been a long list. I think really outside of me and Will Smith, you know, there haven't been too many. And you know, if you think about like all the rockers that used to do it back in the day, it's hard. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side.
Sure.
But you know, how many athletes want to be musicians and musicians want to be actors and actors want to be, you know, it was when I decided this is what I want to do, this was all I was going to do. I wasn't going to go and then make records and then come back and then go do movies for a couple of years. It was just like, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm meant to do, and I'm going to give it 110%.
Oh, thanks so much. Sorry, we're out of time.
No, no
problem. Shape something.
I appreciate it. Pleasure.
Really good to meet you.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So if you are a regular listener to the programme and I wasn't here yesterday. I wasn't actually here on the programme yesterday. And we're learning now that up to two people noticed that I wasn't here. One of them as well was Ian Camfield, and he only noticed because he had to get up early to come and do the programme. No one else really noticed at all. I feel quite hurt, if I'm really honest, Matt. I'm really quite hurt by the whole thing. Did you notice, Matt, at all? Did you notice that I wasn't here, or was it sort of business as...
Notice what?
All right. So the main the reason I wasn't here, I mean, let me give you the reason, is because, quite simply, I woke up believing... You know Metamorphosis by Kafka? Kafka's Metamorphosis.
Yeah. Classic piece of work.
Yeah. Thanks. My headphones are broken. I'll be honest with you. This is what's going on. Look, Dave's trying to fix.
From an easy dream.
Yeah.
That was you.
That was me. And instead of believing I turned into some sort of insect, I was actually under the impression that I was a BBC news journalist and I was on strike. So I didn't bother coming in for work. That's what happened. So I apologise for that. But because the BBC were on strike yesterday, it led me towards the idea of a text-in for this morning. As I lay there, believing I was a cockroach on my back, I thought, ideally, tomorrow, what we could do is... what if XFM went on strike? What if music went on strike? What if... It's all right for the BBC, isn't it? They can go on strike with their news. Yeah, but what about if the important things, like music, went on strike? What if music went on strike because it was subject, Matt, to cuts, to budget cuts, the music?
Oh.
Do you see where I'm going with this now? Did you see?
I do.
So as a text in, it's budget music today. Budget music, cut to music. Shall I give you an example?
Yes.
For instance, a very easy one would be Bat Out of Hull. Which is, of course, is a cut price version, as we know, of Hell, isn't it?
Yes,
if you've ever been there, you'd know that to be true.
Yeah.
You could also have the Lightning Seed.
Yes.
just one, isn't it?
Men at Work to Rule. That's also bringing in the strike.
Bringing the strike, I like that.
The Eagles classic, Premier in California.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah.
On a similar tip, Cheap Day Tripper Return. could have that.
Average Size Black Hole by Muse.
There you go. The Only Living Boy in New Look.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
It's just going to say, instead of suede, you could have New Book.
There it is.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
So, XFM Breakfast then. I'm down here. Now I've come down to the under-resourced studio. Please welcome our guest in the under-resourced studio this morning. It's Bono. It's Bono! Bono, welcome to XFM.
John.
It's nice to see you.
You too.
Looking quite... Yeah, well, good joke. Nice nice start there. A bit of humour, Bono. Because you take yourself very seriously, Bono, don't you, in many ways?
In public.
Yeah.
In private, I crack that U2 joke all the time.
Do you kick back? Do you, like, what does Bono do to kick back?
It's mainly that joke.
Just that, is it? You just say...
three or four times a night.
People just say to you, how you doing, Bono? And you go, fine, you too. Like that.
Sometimes not even in context.
Really?
Yeah, that was a lucky... Yeah. A lucky coincidence, really, that it made sense.
Interesting night.
Some people just ask me.
Night out with you.
Go to the pub.
Yeah.
What can I get you? You too? Doesn't make sense, does it?
No, it doesn't make any sense, no.
That's fine.
But a lot of what you do doesn't.
That's no, it's okay.
Because you, I mean, you sort of strut about, don't you? And those quite high built-up shoes that you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And your leather trousers that really are too young for a man of your age.
You could do with some of those shoes, though.
Just ignoring that.
Add a few inches.
Ignoring that now. And I want to ask you very much about... Yeah, it's fashion I want to ask you about, because I want to ask you about the sunglasses. You never take them off, and why? What is it? Are your eyes painted on the front of these glasses? You always wear glasses.
They're not just sunglasses, though. Do you want to have a look through?
I feel quite honoured. Good, take them off.
Pass them to you. They're like, you know, those Google glasses.
Oh, wait a minute. You've got no eyes behind there. What's... You've just got blank skin, Bono. I didn't. Your eyes are on the front of the glasses. I didn't know that.
Can we edit that out?
Wow.
I can't have people knowing that.
No. Oh, it's just lidless skin. What's that about? You look like a sort of reverse lizard. I'm really sorry I brought it up. That's embarrassing.
No, it is embarrassing. Let's just talk about the glasses.
God, you could have just drawn someone in pen or something, couldn't you?
That's not how eyes work, John, is it? That's not how the body works.
I don't know. These glasses. Can I look through them?
Yeah, have a look through them.
I'm going to do it just to look away from your skin face.
They're very high tech. They're like those Google glasses.
Yeah.
You know, that tell you where everything is, but it's for poverty.
Well,
it shows me where the nearest poverty is, I can make it history.
I can see, looking through these now, this is your problem.
Yeah.
You wear these poverty glasses with eyes drawn on the front, and you see poverty everywhere, don't you, through
these? Yeah.
I'm looking right now, I know we're in an under-resourced studio, but looking through these, it's even more under-resourced. There's just sand on the floor now.
I know.
And just...
look at that instrument cupboard.
Look at that instrument cupboard. There's
bones.
There's a hungry child in it through these glasses. If I put the glasses down, look, no hungry child. Glasses up, hungry child in the cupboard. No wonder you want to save everything all the time. Everywhere you look through these glasses, you just see poverty.
People think I talk about it too much.
Yeah.
But you can see why now.
Should have gone to Specsavers, Bono. Is this why you think the streets have no name as well? Because you can't actually see the sign. The street, let me tell you, Bono, the streets do have names.
I know.
But you think they have no names.
It skewed my whole view of the
world.
And
I'm thinking the reason for
this. I would have found what I was looking for a long time ago.
If you took the glasses off, yes, you would! Honestly, you've done yourself a disservice, Bono, if I'm brutally honest. Despite all this, it's lovely to have you in.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for coming in. What tune are you going to play for us today?
We're going to do With or Without You.
And what instruments have you found in the under-resourced studio?
Well, look at it. There's nothing in there. There's some milk bottles.
Yes. Yeah.
Conveniently filled up to different levels, so they make different notes.
Yeah, that's also, it's not milk, of course, either. What's in there is white spirit, because that's where Ian Campfield keeps his Molotovs.
The Edge has been learning to beatbox.
Okay.
So he's going to do a bit of that, okay. And we're going to do a bit...
It's nice to see you, Edge. He doesn't say anything, does he? He's in there, quiet in the corner. Nice to see you.
He's like Teller.
Please welcome to the under-resourced studio, Bono.
You too.
No, that wasn't the right context. Bow dow bow, ba da dow dow bow.
Slide a hand and twist of fate. On a bed of nails she makes me wait. And I will wait without you. With or without you. With or without you. Through the storm we reach the shore. You give it all but I want more. And I'm waiting for you. With or without you. With or without you, oh, I can live. With or without you, I can live. With or without you, with or without you.
In the XFM under-resourced studio. That was appalling. But thanks for coming in anyway, Bono. It's lovely to see you and have you here live on XFM.
Thanks, John.
Do you want your glasses back now? Because yes, I'm getting quite frightened of looking at your face. There you go. Pop those back on.
Oh, you look much taller.
This is XFM.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
And this morning we want from you budget music, please. Tony in Essex has come up with an example, of course. Civilians of Leon. Civilians of Leon. Lust for Dice, says Leon the M25.
Bog off spring.
Bog off spring.
Alistair. Good. Good. Smirnoff Ice Supernova, says Lee on the M25.
Nice, good. I like this as well because it involves a budget shop. Simply Elvis Presley's In the Netto.
Go on, you go. Well, I was just going to say Freeview Fall by Adele.
Freeview Fall. I see that. Yeah, see. You're suggesting in some way, though, that one is inferior.
Sky is better than Freeview.
Well, are you trying to get Free Sky now?
Not my words.
Why don't you just put the word Nando's in front of everything, Matt? Why don't you just go, I don't know, there might be Nando's.
That wouldn't be budget, though, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
That'd be high-end.
Doesn't seem to be...
Tasty.
This is ridiculous. What are you doing? What are you doing?
He mentioned it.
Nando's. Where do you want to go with it? Other chicken is available. Matt's going, it's not as good. Dear oh Lord. And they shall know us by the trail of bread.
The stone daffodils and fool's aluminium. Mark D.
The devil went down to George at Asda.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes.
Corden last night at the Brits and ripped us off. Tell me if this isn't it right. This is from the show yesterday. Yesterday morning, bear in mind. So today, I thought our texting could be very simply music shops. Music shops. 83936. Would you like an example, Matt?
Yes, please.
You could have WH The Smiths, can you?
Little Mix, Little Wayne.
Good. Right, see, so that was us yesterday. Right? Clearly. That was us at about, I don't know, quarter past... What time did we do that? About half seven or something, was it?
Yeah, about 7:10. Yeah.
And then, not 12 hours later, Corden goes on stage at the Brits and does this.
Who wants some more live music? Well, this next band are so big, they've actually got their own shop.
Listen.
I know. The only other bands who've achieved this are, of course, WH The Smiths.
Oh, what?
Little Mix.
No! Unbelievable!
Oh, what?
Insult to injury is what that is.
That's too much of a coincidence.
There's no way. So not only don't we get... No wonder... I bet my non-ticket thing came from Corden himself. He saw my name on that list.
Yeah.
And he went, no, I've nicked his gags. And I don't want him in the audience because he's only going to shout thieving git at me.
No way.
So I'm shouting it now.
Wow.
Corden, thieving toe rack.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
Those were the least worst bits of last week's XFM Breakfast Show. There'll be more least worst bits next week.
You can take your fingers out now, Dave.
Ow!
If you like this podcast, why not check out some of the other great ones available to download at xfm.co.uk.
XFM.
Josh Widdicombe.
Earlier, I just want to say, Neil, that I've been very rude. Because I was talking about meeting famous people and embarrassing yourselves in front of them. And I didn't ask you if you had any stories.
I've got many. One this week. You've seen the state of me, Josh.
Well, it's all right. We've got 2.5 hours. Let's pull up a pew and have a listen.
One this week happened because XFM exists in the building with lots of other radio stations. We get lots of random people coming in and out.
Yeah.
And
dropping a few names.
Emma Bunton.
Bunton.
John Suchet.
Suchet.
Other people. Margarita Taylor.
Margarita Taylor.
Yeah. But anyway, there was a door that was kind of slightly closing that I needed to get through, and I had 2 cups of tea.
Yeah.
So I just kicked it open.
Yeah.
And smashed it straight into Ryland's face. Ryland of Big Brother X Factor.
Yeah. Oh, no, aunt. I'm fairly aware of Rylan.
Okay.
He's one of those celebrities like Madonna who only needs their first name because they're so famous. Well, that's exciting. Did he do anything?
There were some high-pitched noises followed by an apology by me.
Were the high-pitched noises you or him?
Him.
All right. Rylan Clark with some high-pitched noises, his first album. Available on CD or cassette.
Music that rocks.